Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Part 20 of 52, baby. Part 20.
I got a question for you.
Lay it on me.
Aren't you the closer?
Yeah. On many days, I am. And at the same time, is there another part to that?
I need somebody to help close a deal.
Well, closing a funding round and closing a deal can be different. Now, technically, they're both deals, but closing a sales deal and a funding round are, once again, quite different. You know, Matt, it's amazing that you happen to need this help, because that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, closing a funding round. Now, before we get into that, I don't know if you know this, Matt, but today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Gusto. And Gusto is a simple online payroll and benefits platform. It's built for small businesses. Gusto automatically files your payroll taxes and directly deposits your team's pay. Plus, you can offer all kinds of benefits, 401k, health insurance, workman's comp, and more. Because you're a Startup Hustle listener, 3 free months. Once you run your first payroll, there's a link in the show notes, gusto.com/startup hustle. Go check out what they do, sign up, bring some efficiency to it so you don't have to worry about closing your payroll round every 2 months. Now, Matt, yes, I do consider myself to be a closer, but you, sir, have way more experience with today's topic than I do. So where should we start, man?
I think we start with saying it's hard to even get to the point to close a deal, but, if you're going to close one, congratulations, you have, joining an elite club that's actually raised capital.
Yeah. And let's go back to that. Cause you know, we spent quite a few episodes and maybe stacked up what to some listeners might've felt like a rather uninspiring list of reality. But the fact is most funding rounds fail. They die on the vine. I mean, that's why you're saying what you're saying, right?
Yeah. I mean, most people spend forever chasing the money. And then once you catch one, you got to know what to do to close them and how to close them. That's a whole nother thing. So.
Yeah. And you know, we've talked about some of that. And, you know, last week we're in here talking about how to pitch to investors. And when things go well, you know, you might get around, you might start to see that move forward. You're going to go through a diligence process. Now, Matt, we talked a little bit. You went through a diligence process, both with your recent acquisition of Stackify by Netreo. If you guys want to watch that whole process, if you want to watch Matt age over a 20-minute video, go to the Startup Hustle YouTube channel and you'll see it, because there's a whole process that you have to go through, due diligence, a whole lot of that. Now, that's hard to kind of encapsulate in a podcast because there's so many different steps. Before we get into closing, Matt, I mean, what are some of the most common reasons that we don't even get the chance to close the round?
You got a terrible startup idea. That's the first one.
You wouldn't have had the opportunity to close it. This is more centric around, okay, now you've got someone interested, which here's the thing, even when people are interested and you say, hey, we're going to take a closer look at this, in my experience, and this isn't just like my own deals, but people I talk to, they seem to fall through 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah. And you and I have experience with this. You and I both dealt with some investors that said they wanted to invest. They said they want to do the deal. They want to do the deal. And then when it comes time to wire the money and sign the paperwork, all of a sudden they just disappear. And
or something changes. And you know, that's not uncommon either.
And I think that goes to the level of the sophistication of the investor you're dealing with, right? Is it an angel investor? Is it a family office? Or is it a VC fund? You know, you're dealing with a family office and like, oh yeah, the family's got a bunch of money, but it might be 9 brothers, sisters, and cousins that have like $1 billion between them because their great grandmother invented something or whatever, right? And now the family office has all this money, but then you got to get all of them to like agree to do the deal and like vote or something. Or then God forbid somebody in the family dies and then forget everything. Like the family office is like in total disarray because grandma died. I've seen that happen. Like the shit just goes on hold. Just pause everything. We'll be back after a few weeks. Just stuff happens.
And you know, a lot of this stuff too, there's no data around it. Cause when these things happen, oftentimes the founders and the companies that could have or would have received funds aren't reporting this to a central database as far as like why someone didn't want to put money into the company. And I mean, that's a real thing too. So, you know, if you're going to get an investor with angel investors, now, Matt, we also raised a pretty large amount of capital with basically no diligence process at Full Scale. And that was a different kind, but those were all like people we knew and they didn't run through the ringer. Now, when it comes to equity investments, oftentimes you're going to go through a diligence process. They're going to find things they don't like. The valuation could change. The terms could change. The general attitude and climate towards the company. Like they just basically in the end, they find something they don't like. They find someone they don't like, or they could in many cases find something else they like better. So, you know, there is, like I said, and we are realists on this show, people. We are just here to bring you the real story of entrepreneurship. And it's got a lot of like kind of ugly, dark secrets behind it. And, you know, sometimes reasons rounds fail is that, you know, sometimes the investor just wasn't that sincere in the first place. They might just want to get in there and kick tires and get data.
I think my number one suggestion is when you've got somebody who's ready to send you money, you fucking take it as fast as possible.
Correct.
That's like,
yeah.
That's like number one thing, because you just never know. You just never know. Yep. I mean, it could be that a week goes by and then they're like, well, I want to wait a couple more days and see how you finish the month. What do your numbers look like for June? And then you're like, oh fuck, we just churned a couple big accounts. We didn't close a lot of deals in June. Oh my God. We're going to get destroyed.
I've been so busy messing with you in this funding round that I took my eyes off the prize. But yeah, so there you go. Tip one.
That's the thing. You never know.
Cash the fucking check. Get the wire in. Do it. Get it done.
The numbers look good in May. You know, the first week of June, they were all excited. And then you get like a couple days before June ends. And now they're like, well, let's see how you finish June. And you're like, oh, fuck. I'm telling you, this is what happens. It's absolutely what happens.
So Matt and I mentioned we had an issue with this, and some of it was right before the pandemic. We thought we had lined up about $1 million worth of funding and investment in Full Scale. And then I had to leave. I was leaving for the Philippines, which slowed things down. And then COVID hit. And next thing you know, that whole thing was off the rails. And, you know, we ended up revisiting it later, but You know, we had the majority of our time. We had the majority of our time, effort, and energy in trying to keep our business alive, you know.
Perfect example, like 2 weeks before COVID's going to happen. Could have signed the deal. You know, we were kind of slow, and then fuck, pandemic. Now what? Now nobody wants to do anything, right? I mean, it could happen. That's what I'm saying. Like
my stock accounts are failing. We don't know where the market's going. There's a lot of unforeseen blah, 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 blah. And here's the thing too. It's like when we went back around to it, it was like, well, give us some financial projections. And I literally replied to that. I was like, I can, but I mean, your guess is as good as mine because I've never been through a pandemic. You haven't been, and I don't know what's coming. So now look, we have some tips. First off, I think that's maybe the best tip is like, get the money in the bank. Just like hurry up, like do whatever you need to do. If you're close to it and you smell it, like make it your priority to get paperwork signed. Don't push it off. Let's just get it done. Cause my God, there's a million things that can go with it. All right. So look, let's talk about some like little 101 kind of things. You might even be like 100 level courses, not even a 101. Like, so if you want to close this around and you've gone through this, I mean, the very first tip is like, make a checklist for what needs to occur for your funding round to get done. And that occurs, that's things that you might need or want. And then also just ask the person that's investing. You know, if you're working, if you're getting, you know, venture capital or institutional type money, grants that come, like that's another thing, like a grant's a form of investment. That's a funding round. There's going to be specific things that they need or want, check boxes that need to occur. So make a checklist. Make a checklist, right?
Yeah. You got to be prepared. They all want to see the same documents, the same information. You got to have a data room. You got to have a deal room that you put all the stuff in and be ready to go. So when somebody's ready to sign the check, you got your convertible note or whatever it is, and you're trying to continue to get pieces of it, get all the information, ship it right over, wire me the money. Let's go.
Okay, so now, and I know we're talking about closing, but on the way up to it, like, you know, we mentioned some of the things that can and could make deals fall apart. I think one of them is like we mentioned, it's easy for us to be like, hurry up and cash the check. Look, you're a salesperson at this point, and you that means you need to have follow up. You need to not be afraid to ask them to make commitment.
Yep.
Like in one of those rounds where Matt and I were talking about things hadn't gone well for us at Full Scale, we were, you know, I got to the point where it dragged on and I just sent an email, said, hey, look, we're investing a significant amount of time, energy, and focus in this process right now. Where are you at? Because we weren't getting the answers we needed or where we wanted. And that is actually what like it sped things up. So I think a lot of people, when they get an investor or an opportunity in front of them, they get real quiet and I'm waiting for them to come back. I'm waiting for them to reply. Like, how have you handled that, Matt?
Well, it's always hard. And especially if it's your friends or family and stuff like that too, right? Versus total strangers. And you got people all over the board. And, you know, as we talk about closing a round, you know, it's different if it's a small angel investment versus like a Series A from a VC, or like I did a venture debt round and then we sold the company. And so all these things are kind of done totally different. And as you can imagine, they're from the least complexity to the most complexity along that scale. A lot of angel investors, they just meet with you and you're like, I like that Matt guy. He seems like a smart guy. His business idea sounds pretty good. I'm just going to give them a check. And like, literally that's it. That's all they do. It's like crazy. And then when you sell a company, you go through like 6 months of proctology exams. That's a totally different thing.
Right. And that there's a checklist there. And that's like I said, if you can start it, and then it's as simple as asking, you know, so that we'll play, I'm the company, you're the investor, right? And let's say you're some institutional money. Hey, Matt, you know, thank you so much for your interest in our company. I know that you guys have closed deals with other companies. What's that process look like? And what can I do to make it smoother, more efficient, or less of a hassle for you? Do you have an actual checklist of things that I can prepare or get ready?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but first, we have a weekly board meeting next week. Let me meet with them, and then we'll get back with you in a week or two, and then we'll send you the checklist.
That's not a hot lead.
That's usually about how it sounds.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The temperature gauge on that opportunity is mild. Like, and here's another thing, too, is, you know, you mentioned like a quarterly board meeting. If you get on the wrong side of some of these schedules, you might find yourself that just occurred last week, and now you've got to wait 3 months for it to happen again. And that's why I said, yeah, right, right.
How do you get the whole investment committee together to make a freaking decision when one of them is on vacation every week?
Yeah, and so, but that's part of why, you know, like, look, you can't be afraid to push a little bit, especially when it's when it's just for like reasonable stuff. Now, look, you don't have to be an asshole about it, but hey, Matt, I'm trying to keep this process moving along. And with that, I just want to see what the next step is.
It's all about expectation management.
Yeah.
Right. And in some sense, you're trying to set your own expectations. You just ask them like, hey, can we get this finished by July 1st? Like, even if they say July 3rd, you really don't care. It doesn't really even matter. What you want them to do is to commit. Let make them say, okay, yeah, July 3rd is great. So then when July 3rd comes around, if they don't have it done, you got a reason to like bust them for it, right? And give them a lot of grief. Where if you never set a goal or a timeline, then it just kind of floats on and it's hard to nail them down.
Yeah. And the whole point is don't sit around waiting for everything to come to you, because it probably won't. And you know, that's the thing. Now, you know, so in this whole process, I mean, here's other things that, but we can, here's a new game, Matt, things we've said to VCs rather than things VCs have said to us. Like, all right, what does the process look like in closing around with you guys? There you go. Like, that's it. Like, another thing, how long does it typically take you to close around once you know that's, you know, it's an investment you want to make. And by the way, And by the way, the answer to that question is usually really disappointing to the founder that's asking it. Because Matt, how long do you think the normal round takes for non-angel money?
I would say for a normal like Series A kind of round, I would say it's probably 30 to 60 days once you've even got kind of a commitment. Once you've got the commitment, it's still going to be some different due diligence and process and all that kind of stuff that's still going to go on another 30, 60 days probably. And if you're selling a company, it's more like 3 to 6 months.
Yeah. So
I mean, I just went
most VCs will tell you that, like, and this is from your local fund to something bigger, that it's about a 5 to 6 month process from beginning to end, and maybe more, maybe on the latter side of that. It just depends on what the sense of urgency is now.
Well, especially if you include from the original, like talking to them and all that, right? Like, I mean, if we're talking about closing it, I mean, you get to the point where you got a term sheet and now we're ready to like execute it. It still takes 30 to 60 days.
Yep. Yep. So, okay. So some of the other things too, it's like, and this is where we've made mistakes in the past. Like, do you even have a term sheet? Like someone's interested in investing, like, Matt, what's the next step? Like, okay, send me a term sheet. Can you explain what like the LOI, like what that even is and like what those look like and how those have materialized or blown up in front of you over the years?
Yep. And so I guess I'd first of all saying we're talking about more larger rounds. If you're dealing with angel investors, you really don't usually have term sheets probably. It's more of like a handshake deal of like, oh, we have a convertible note and these are the terms and whatever, you're in, you're out. But you get to check or you don't,
right?
Yeah. Once you get a little further down with a VC, right, they're going to give you a term sheet or an IOI or LOI or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, on the StackFi side, when we were selling the company, hell, we negotiated that term sheet for like 30 days. Just negotiating the term sheet because we were going back and forth around reps and warrants and this and that, and how much is the earn out, how much is holdback, how much is an escrow, how long is it? Like, but we were selling the company, right? But you can spend a lot of time just like fine-tuning that. And God forbid you're in a competitive situation where you're dealing with 5 different VCs that all want to do it, and you're kind of, you know, competing them against each other, and you're going back and forth. And that's what we did the Vint Solutions days. It was like a 3-month ordeal of just that, of just trying to get everybody to offer a little better deal. I mean, it takes a lot of time.
So here's the definition of a term sheet, and this is important. A term sheet is a non-binding agreement, meaning it's not the deal's not done at the term sheet. It's a non-binding agreement outlining the basic terms and conditions under which an investment will be made. Term sheets are most often associated with startups. Entrepreneurs find that this document is crucial to attracting investors such as VCs with capital to fund enterprises. Now, here's the thing is there's a lot of work that happens after the term sheet. So if you're not even agreeing on the terms, the pricing, the vehicle, meaning is this a safe note? Is it a convertible note? Is it a straight equity transaction? Like Matt threw out a whole bunch of things like warrants and blah, 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 blah. Because the thing is, if you can't agree on the basic structure, all right, so Matt, let's take this down to the most elementary level. I will give you one Mark McGwire baseball card for one Jose Canseco. That is a child's version of a baseball card term sheet, right? Now, you haven't made the actual swap yet. You're saying, are you interested? Because, and those are like the two worst examples, but we're saying, yeah, we're talking about making a deal now in order to get that done. Okay, so how are we going to make this deal? Am I going to ride my bike to your house? Are you going to ride your bike to my house? Some of that stuff. And this is important stuff because if you can't get the basic terms in the term sheet and that stuff down, then all the other crap that needs to occur after it, don't bother. Don't bother. Well,
the thing is, virtually everything can change past the term sheet, right? But what you want to do is make sure you're on the same page and negotiate some things up front. I'd say it's no different than going on a date with a girl, right? The first thing you want to know is like, hey, do you want to have kids? Do you not want to have kids? Do you want to get married?
That's a really good example. Actually,
do you go to church? Do you expect me to become a Catholic and go to church every Sunday? Like, I'm not into that. Are we into that? Like, figuring out some of their deal breakers right away. You're like,
excellent example, Matt. Because there, like you said, there are just certain things that you're not going to be down for.
Yeah.
And if you can't get those basic things out, you're wasting your time doing the other stuff past it. Now, look, I've made this mistake. We've made this mistake. Everyone's made this mistake.
Are we talking about you've already made now?
No, okay. That's a whole nother. We're going to do a different.
Okay.
We're going to do a 520 part series on that later. And that'll be pretty in depth. Talk about startups being like an onion, meaning the further you get into it, the more you cry. That ex-wife episode might be the king of all onions. But so here's the thing, your term sheet, when we say non-binding, that's not a contract. That's not a deal. Those are the loose parameters, kind of like Matt compared it to, like with dating or meeting a girl. Like it doesn't mean that it's like, okay, here's the basics of what I'm into. Like, because here's the thing is if one person really wants to have kids and the other person doesn't, could be a deal breaker. Yeah. What's the fucking point? Why are we even moving forward? And then the dating process is your due diligence. You're trying to figure out, is this person crazy? Can I manage to be around them? Do they manage their finances properly? Have they managed their finances properly? Do they have the right supporting cast around them? Am I going to be happy to be around my mother-in-law in 5 years? Like all that is the same kind of stuff you go through with diligence. But if you can't agree on, if you don't have a basic term sheet and that stuff out of the way, you could very much, you are setting yourself up for major disappointment.
Well, and the number one thing that comes with a term sheet is a period of exclusivity. And it's much akin to the dating of like, hey, we just got engaged. We're engaged for the next 45 days and we're going to figure out if we're really going to get married. And it's exactly the same sort of thing. And that's the dangerous part, right? Is you become exclusive with whoever the VC is or whatever. And so if somebody else comes along with a better deal, you can't even talk to them.
Right. Now, but that isn't always the case. It can be the case. It depends on like, is this person writing the check for all of it? Because in that case, yeah, there may be some exclusivity. If it's just a portion of it, be careful with that, folks. Like it depends on who it is. And also, remember, if you enter into some form of exclusivity, you're going to really limit your ability to create a backup plan for what happens if things don't go. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the things that are typically on a term sheet and what to look for. But before we get into that, just a quick reminder that taking care of employees has never been more important. And for years, Gusto has been helping more than 100,000 small business owners run payroll, offer benefits, onboard new employees, and more. That's why they call it the people platform. It doesn't just look nice, it works. Your payroll taxes are filed, deductions are calculated, your team gets paid. You can even offer health insurance, 401ks, and you get 3 free months with when you run your first payroll. Just use the link in the show notes, gusto.com/payroll. Once again, gusto.com/payroll. And you know what? Thank you, Gusto, for re-upping your sponsorship with us, which is something that happens a lot in investment. Now, if you get your term sheet and all of this right, you will likely have a much smoother path when you go back to your initial investors for a later round. But when it comes to like term sheets in general, I mean, one of the very first things, Matt, is like, okay, so what's the price? Right? Like, how? What's the price?
It's always the big one. And one of the companies I was just invested in was recently going through a potential acquisition, and they kept going around and around about the price and the deal and the structure. And eventually they had to walk away because, talk about if you can't align at the very beginning on price, like none of the rest of it matters. And
Matt, I know you're looking for a car, and I have a car I'd like to sell you. Isn't the very first thing you'd ask is, well, what kind of car is it and how much?
Can I afford you?
Right. And how much is it? Because, you know, I know you're shopping for a Tesla, but I've got one that you can buy. It's $200,000. And then you say, well, it's got to be the Roadster. No, it's a Model 3.
Do they come in
like,
pairs?
No. And you know, they'd be like, you need a 4-pack at that price. But, so the price is almost always the very first thing you're discussing. And then other things could be things like what format is this investment going to follow? Like what's the structure of it? So you have things like a safe note, a simple agreement for future equity. Okay. Google it. It's a whole nother topic. You have things like convertible notes, straight equity purchases. Some of them are just options to buy later. Some could be, hey, we're going to give you this investment now, but we want the option to buy more later at the same price. And then also like who's going to control the company? What are things like voting rights? Matt, what are the board seats? Just like a whole lot of stuff. I mean, what are other things you've seen on term sheets?
In early stage deals, the other one to look out is making the founders vest their stock. Sometimes that'll come up, which can
explain
be a good.
That.
So they're like, okay, I'm going to invest $2 million in your company, Matt. But we're going to take all of your stock away from you. And you're going to vest it over the next 5 years. So if we decide to fire you, we can do that. And then you lose all your stock. But if you're a good employee for the next 5 years, you can keep it.
And some of that. So my next question could be is, all right, well, who controls whether or not I still work at the company? Now that's where the board can come in.
Yep.
Right. So, you know, like Matt and I own fullscale.io together, and come check out what we do. We can help you build a development team, but we are 50-50. We don't have a board. We make decisions to like, and either we agree or we don't. And now that said, if we brought in another investor, that investor wants a vote. They want a seat at the table and they want to be able to say something about it. Now, be careful with this because some people give away a bunch of board seats for like a tiny amount of money and then find themselves really regretting it later.
You see these horror stories where they come in and fire the current CEO or whoever the founder is and stuff like that because whatever. And it all happens. So,
I mean, that's like the Hollywood shit, you know, it's like someone builds this company and next thing you know, they're out. And you hear about this a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like this is not an uncommon thing. And, you know, you say, well, why did they fire you? Well, I mean, it could be as simple as you made a really shitty deal and you weren't as important to everything as you thought you were. And if you're in a position, so let's just paint this picture real quick. Let's say Matt and I, we bring a third investor in and now the board, so I'm the CEO of Fullscale, but now the board is me, Matt, and one other person. If the board controls who runs Fullscale and Matt decides that I'm not doing a good job and pairs up with the investor, they outvote me 2-1. I'm looking for a job. That doesn't mean I don't own my shares, but it does mean that I don't run the company. It means that I don't get a paycheck. It means that I need to go do something else.
Well, and a good example of this, where this happens usually, is probably major changes in the direction of the business. Of, let's say we bring in a new investor and they're like, we don't like your current go-to-market strategy. We're going to fire your entire sales team. We're going to go to this partner model or whatever, like major changes. Or in the case of Full Scale, it could be like, hey, selling developers, we don't really like that. We'd rather do call center work. So we're going to hire 500 people in the Philippines in a call center instead. And we're going to get rid of this software development thing because we'd rather do the call center thing. We got a buddy who needs to hire 500 call center agents. We're going to chase that. I mean, you just never know.
And that's why we mentioned like the term sheet, like a lot of this is like dating. Like, you know, actually, Matt, we had someone that was interested in making a pretty substantial investment in Full Scale. And this particular investor wanted a job. Like, hey, I get paid. I'm going to come into work once a week. And the thing was, is like, at first we're like, okay, this might be useful. And then all of a sudden we're like, shit, I don't think this person understands what we do or how we do it. And is that going to be something we really, really, really regret?
Yeah. He's going to be a pain in the ass.
Could have been. And, you know, and that's a problem, you know, because here's the thing is once you make these deals, they're hard to get out of. They're really hard to get out of. So, you know, like, I mean, there's other things that like, you know, you mentioned term sheets, including like exclusivity provisions. And that would mean like the company cannot enter into negotiations with other investors while the interested parties complete its due diligence before their commitment and completing their investment. I think you got to be really careful with that stuff because, okay, what I just read there, the question is, okay, when does that end? Is there a timeline? Does this need to be done by a certain time? Like, because the thing is if you have a runway that is shortening and you go exclusive with someone and it falls apart, you might be risking the future of your entire company.
Well, and this is why you've always got to raise the capital kind of way before you need it, because the absolute worst thing you can do is be against that deadline where you're going to hit that brick wall. And once you kind of go down the path of being a venture-backed company, you're playing the game of chicken because you're like, we got to raise, you know, $5 million. We're going to go spend it real fast. And in 18 months, we're going to need to raise more. Well, if you have any kind of bad month or bad quarter or anything along the way there, you may be totally screwed, not hit your numbers, not hit the next milestone, and not get that next round of funding. And it's a dangerous game of chicken. It really is. And you got to be careful on, you know, you're like, oh, we're going to do great. And then we hit a pandemic, right? Like any of these things can happen. Can you imagine all the automotive industry right now is totally screwed because they don't have enough microchips. Like they literally can't make cars. I mean, you just never know. But the key thing is having a backup plan and always knowing what your runway is and trying to extend that runway and raising money before you get dangerously close to it. Because the last thing you want to do is be like, oh, we don't have money to make payroll in 3 weeks from now and we're desperate or we're going to have to lay off half the team. Like you want to raise the money way in advance.
And you find yourself doing desperate stuff that it doesn't really bode well for the future of the business. All right. So yeah, look, a few final words on term sheets. It's pretty easy. Like you got to identify the purpose of what you're trying to accomplish. Just a simple summary of terms and conditions. You want to list your basic terms. These could also include things like dividends, liquidation preference, or different provisions. Now, liquidation preference, Matt, explain that real quick, because this is the one thing that you can find yourself getting screwed on if you don't even know what it is. Matt, what's a liquidation preference?
Okay, so there's two parts to this that are super important to understand. There's a liquidation preference, and then there's also if the equity is participating or non-participating preferred stock. Those two factors dramatically change the entire structure of the deal. So if, let's say StackFi is worth $10 million and somebody, we agree to take $3 million. If it's a normal preferred equity, that means they're guaranteed to get their $3 million back first, like worst case scenario, right? But if their liquidation preference is, say, 2x, that means they're guaranteed to get back double their money. So they're guaranteed to get $6 million back. So worst case scenario, they're guaranteed to double their investment. So to some degree, they may not even care so much about valuation. They're like, okay, fine. We'll give you a $17 million valuation. We don't even give a shit anymore because you just guaranteed we're going to double our money because we got a 2x liquidation preference, right? That's how you get people to be more flexible on valuation. They'll give you a higher valuation if you take, if you give them a better multiple on that. The other thing you have to watch out for is the participating preferred or non-participating preferred stock. So that is similar from the sense of they gave you the $3 million. And if it's participating or not, it depends on if they get their $3 million back and then they still own like 30% of the company, or do they just own 30% of the company and they're guaranteed to get at least $3 million. So the other way, they double dip. They get their $3 million back, plus they own 30% of the company. They're double dipping on you. And you really got to watch out for that one. That's a huge, huge one too.
So if you haven't figured it out yet, having some attorneys that know what they're doing is a pretty good idea. Because all this stuff Matt, it's like, Matt, I've known you for quite a while and we've had a gazillion conversations, and the depth of your knowledge and understanding that never ceases to amaze me. Because, here's the thing that's because Matt's done this a couple times. I mean, from exits to raising to all of it. And, I've been around it. I've been involved with a lot of it. But look, unless you've done it a bunch, it's really easy to miss something here. And, Matt's talking, and that was next. You talk about, so that's referred to as participation rights. You talk about who's going to be on your board of directors. Really like those voting agreements and other matters. And those might not as much be a term sheet matter, but if you're the CEO and the founder, all right, well, I'll give you an example. So it's, I mentioned control. Matt and I, we own the company together. And in order to not make me have to pick up the phone every time I want to buy paper at Staples, there are thresholds and things that are set up. These are just general. You're probably going to have to change your operating agreement and your articles of incorporation, which are the things that establish certain stuff. And if you're one of those people, like, okay, so I heard someone quote the other day, it was just talking about entrepreneurs. I was watching The Titans That Made America, and it was Damon John. He's like, well, most entrepreneurs became entrepreneurs because they didn't want to have other people telling them what to do.
Yep.
So, if that's you, then, some of the stuff might not be for you. Like, it might feel very, very excruciating and very difficult to palate. So
some of it comes down to your company and how you run it versus how the board and the investors may want to run it. For example, you might run pretty loosey goosey on budgets and planning and all that, but then you might bring in new board and all of a sudden they want to approve all budgets, everything. I mean, that's the world I live at Netgeo now, which is a bigger company.
Right.
Everything is ran by a budget, every single thing. Where before you might have been real loosey goosey, didn't have budgets. The concept of a budget never entered your mind. But you bring in different investors and they want to bring in different leadership and they want you to hire a CFO. And now you've got budgets for everything. You spend all your time planning and coming up with budgets. Like, it's a whole different world.
I think there's one more thing we should address, because we're sitting here and I know that for some of you folks, like, you're going, oh my God, there's a lot here. But guess what? There is a lot here. And we're talking about closing your funding round. So we're trying to help you avoid the things that are going to make you cry later. Matt, let's talk about dilution for a second, because I don't think that most people really understand it on some levels. And like, dilution's a normal thing, but you can hear things like anti-dilution Matt, when you think about what is dilution?
Well, usually when you raise like a Series A kind of round, the new investors are going to own 20 to 40% of the company, right? So you're going to, so if there was 100 shares, now there's going to be like 130 shares or whatever it will end up being. And so you own less of a bigger pie, like the pie gets bigger, right? You're going to get diluted. And every time you bring in new investors, you're going to continue to get diluted. And this is why venture debt is also a popular option as well. And we did that at StackFi. We raised some money through venture debt. So we didn't give up any equity. There was no dilution, but we had to pay back the debt. So that's another pro and con. I had a buddy of mine call me last week and he's like, well, I'm thinking about raising $5 million. I'm like, well, what are you going to do with it? He's like, well, I don't even know, but I figure if we're going to raise money, we're going to have to raise like a big amount. I talked to him for a while and eventually he's like, well, we probably really only need like 500 grand. I'm like, buddy, sounds like you should go raise venture debt instead.
Yeah. Well, we did that at Full Scale too. Venture debt's basically just like creating your own loan in some regards. And there's a bunch of different ways you can do it, but you know, part of that is, and that's also why things like Safe Notes exist, because you might not know what your company's worth. And like, I mean, I know it's difficult to say, but you know, it's not always there's not a clear cut answer. There's not like a price guide that says this company's worth this. I mean, these are arbitrary things. Matt, how many people have you had ask or bring up? They're like, well, what, I mean, do you think that's a good valuation? I don't fucking know. Do you? That's a question you should be asking yourself. Do you think it's a good valuation? Because the only valuation that's good is the one you feel at least mildly comfortable with or that you're willing to accept.
It reminds me, I was at the antique store the other day and they had some old G.I. Joes and it was like $70 for this old G.I. Joe car. And I literally just threw one in the trash and I'm like, it wasn't worth shit to me. I wanted it gone.
Right.
But to somebody else, it might be worth a lot.
Right. Right. What else are you throwing out, man? I might stop by.
I might be throwing away some old 2x4s. I hear they're worth a lot of money if you want some.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I know. I'm thinking about selling my house for parts for that very reason. Just because, like, you know, kind of like the good old corporate raider, like the sum of the parts is worth more than the whole. Like, I don't know yet. I'll get back to you on that. Maybe we could get together and see if we could pool some stuff. Okay. So, you know, look, we could go on and on and on and on. And there's some, you know, things that these are the basics. And this is, you know, some of the stuff like dilution is something you need to understand. It's calculable. It's something that you can do. There's math behind it. Now, one of the things you want to look out for is making sure that your investor, or at least knowing, like, there are situations. Well, you look at like the movie, the Social Network, right? And there's that scene where Eduardo comes to visit. And he goes in to talk to the lawyers and he finds out that everybody, that his stock is the only stock that diluted. And he went down to like 0.03% ownership and everyone else stayed the same. That's because he signed a fucking agreement at some point that literally said that his he was able to be diluted, but the other stock, the preference of the other stock or the class of it didn't allow for that, which meant that they created a shitload of more shares using his ownership percentage, but not theirs. So these are terms and things you want to look for. Really, in the end, once again, get a good lawyer, because and try to find someone that deals with a lot of this. And actually, we've Sec and Associates here, Sheila Sec here in Kansas City, has sponsored the show before and does a lot of this stuff, including like helping other businesses buy and sell themselves to each other. But okay, so we finally got the term sheet down. Now, in diligence, Matt, you know, there's really something that I learned from you watching the Startup Hustle TV acquisition episode, was that you need to have a really high amount of patience during this on some levels. Is that correct?
Yeah, because it just drags on and on and on, and it's always one thing or another, especially in an acquisition. I mean, that's a much bigger deal than just raising a round.
Yeah. And now you can head into this stuff by having your shit together, have your numbers, have your books. And like, I mean, and look, I'll be the first person to admit, like, Full Scale grew so quickly. We're still like repairing and improving and like doing a lot of that stuff because life and business march on. But one of the things that's going to guarantee to cloud your closing or slow the process is poor financials, not having that stuff together. Your own response time is important. But when I say be patient, that doesn't mean like wait forever, but don't send your financials off at 4 p.m. on a Friday and expect an answer at 9 a.m. on Monday, or the same from Thursday to Friday. Like, you got to give people time to go through it, but do continue to follow up. Those are things that'll get in the way. All right, so now, Matt, when it comes to the round, now we've talked about the term sheet and we've signed it, but we mentioned the term sheet's non-binding, meaning like if anyone wants to walk away or change terms, that can still occur, right?
Absolutely. Everybody can walk away.
So non-binding, that wasn't a real contract. It's almost like it's just a simple agreement on this is what we're looking for. But what do you think the percentage chances are, especially with institutional money coming in, that the term sheet will change between signing the term sheet and cashing your check?
I would expect something small to change most of the time, but probably nothing big. I mean, sometimes they may get nitpicky about, oh, in diligence, we found this or found that, or you guys said your financial plan was this and we don't agree and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they may try and, negotiate a sweeter deal, a little bit sweeter deal, but it's kind of to be expected almost.
Have you had anything specific? I mean, is there like, what's something to really watch out for? I mean, I think obviously a major change in valuation or structuring of shares or the way, meaning like, we want to do a convertible note. And Matt, what is a convertible note?
Well, it's a loan that has the option to either be repaid like a loan or to convert into equity at a future time.
So that's once again, debt. Like you talk about that. Yeah. So now here's the thing is, what if the investor decides they don't want to convert that into stock? Now you,
I had that happen.
That's debt. It's debt that needs to be repaid.
Yep. I had that happen.
Right. So, you know, there you go. And that, but so know what you're getting into there. And look, once again, there's so many ways to structure. Okay, let's talk about something more exciting. So now let's say we've all agreed. We did a term sheet. You did diligence. We're going to get married. We've made this decision. Matt, how does that normally work? Because you've described this as being somewhat anticlimactic in some regards if it's going well. But the actual act of closing, what does that normally look like?
Did we skip the 4 weeks of the lawyers arguing about like three words in a sentence somewhere?
Yeah.
So you have to go through all of that for $500 an hour about, you know, the
this
word.
Should be capitalized.
They literally argue about like so-and-so shall versus so-and-so will, like the littlest words. Yeah, that's all they do. But, you know, once you get to the final day of closing, it's easy. It's like a non-event. You're like, okay, I got the DocuSign. Click, 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 done. It's like all this work I did come to this climax, which was like very anticlimactic.
So you're saying that there's not a guy that comes in with a suitcase that's like handcuffed to his wrists?
No. And he doesn't come with one of those big checks. I know how much you love those giant big checks.
I do. I love a good, I love a big check.
Nope.
I love a big check. Now, look, here's the thing though. You can negotiate that in your term sheet if you really want. I am not willing to be paid through any other method than a check that it is leased 3 feet tall by 6 feet wide. But that's what term sheets do. That's really that important to you, that's how it works. No, I mean, typically, like you said, it's either an in-person thing and you just go sign something and usually not all together. You sign it, they sign it. And then what happens, Matt? Like within the next few days, then there's more money in your bank account.
Yeah, usually that day or the next day you get the funds. Like in the Netro world, we actually had some, like the investor had to give the money to the VC and then the VC had to send the money to us. And there was a hiccup along the way. So it slowed it down a couple of days or whatever. But, you know, at that point, it comes very anticlimactic. You're just like, okay, I did all this shit work for weeks and then I digitally signed my name today and that was it. It's like a whole hurry up and wait thing. And then you're just nothing.
Right. And, you know, I'll never forget you, the times that you've talked about when you sold your first company, Vent Solutions, which was a huge exit. It was just like, you literally described that as anticlimactic. You're like, we signed some papers and the next morning I had a bunch of money in my bank account. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's how that works.
So all there's right, a different there's a different number on the screen. Other than that, everything's the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And you still and you went to work because you still worked there because you had an earnout. And those are different things. All right. So we're going to do the founder's freestyle in a second. But once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Gusto. If you run a startup or you have to, you got to try Gusto Payroll. Just you can deposit paychecks, file payroll taxes automatically, plus get employee health insurance, onboarding, expert HR, and more. You've even got 3 free months when you go to gusto.com/startup hustle. Once again, gusto.com/startup hustle. There's a link in the show notes. Matt, we'll go quick here because we covered a whole lot of ground. I mean, what's the best, what are your takeaways or your best advice from today's show?
I have not tried to go full Ehrlich Bachman on any VCs. I don't really recommend that either to close a deal. But if you want some good entertainment,
you mean whip it out and put it on the table?
Putting it all on the table. I don't really recommend that. But if you want some highly great entertainment around closing deals, definitely watch Silicon Valley on the HBO show. It's pretty hilarious. And it really, they talk about a lot of these same topics we're going through. They go through them and it's kind of funny, but it's entertaining.
I mean, overall, I'm going to just remind everyone that there's so many resources on the internet. You know, like if you run into terms, clauses, you can look up what they are, but really in the end, don't pretend you're an attorney when you're not. You know, like if this is, I mean, if it's, if you have big money changing hands, and remember, it's easier to get rid of your current spouse than it is to get rid of your business partners or investors. So make sure you know what you're getting into. Get good advice. It's worth it. And, you know, like, while we did say get the money in the bank as soon as you can, at the same time, like, if you can afford to, you know, don't worry about getting that done in 2 days either. You know, overall, when it comes down to this, like, you know, get good advice, really try to understand and know what you're getting into, both from like who is investing in you to how that control matters. You know, like me personally, like I don't really personally want a board telling me what to do every day. Now, am I willing to make that sacrifice? Yes, but it comes at a certain amount of investment that I have yet to define, you know? And I think that is fair, you know? So at what point, you know, if you need the money or you want it, you might not have a choice with that, but you just got to kind of decide what's good for you. A fair valuation and a good valuation is one that you feel good about. And remember, most of the time, both people don't leave a negotiation happy. So you're going to have to give a few things up and you might have to make a few concessions. You just got to think about how bad you want all of it, whether you're willing to live with it, and do you feel comfortable with it? I mean, Matt, did I leave anything out?
At some point in time, you have to realize the business has got to grow up, right? You know, and even with Full Scale, we get to the point where we're like, we grew this thing. It's doing $50 million a year in revenue. Or like, to get to the next level, we're just going to have to do it. We're going to have to bring in a bunch of management, a bunch of board, and it's just going to become a different company. And sometimes that's just where you get to. You're like, if we're going to go to the next stage, it's what we have to go through.
Well, and you know, and just to follow on to that, like you've heard me sit at an actual table and tell people that, like, hey, if any point arrives and I realize that I'm not the right person to run this company because it grew past my ability or understanding or interest, I'll be the first person to tell you that because you got a vested interest in it too. So, yep. You know, anyway, just keep be patient, be patiently impatient. Keep the process moving, stay organized, and do anything you can to just be out in front of the things that can or could get in the way. So, Matt, I'm off. I'm going on vacation, dude. I'll see you when I get back.
Dang. Can I go with you?
No.
Shit. All right, fine. I'm getting back to work.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.